Greetings, excuse me, greetings in Jesus' name tonight. I'm happy to be with you here. My first occasion in this building with you all, and I rejoice with you that the Lord blessed you with these accommodations. It's a very nice place. I did really enjoy the other building too. The architecture of the other building was fascinating to me, so I have fond memories of that as well. I'm glad to be with you tonight. It's a beautiful evening to be out, but I do enjoy being in the AC in a building like this. Like the weatherman said, I was listening to him last week, and he said, be prepared for the air outside to be rather soupy. And I thought that was kind of aptly put. So I do enjoy these accommodations. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I'd like to read our text verses there. What do the goats lack? Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. Through 46, which is the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Then the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. To lack in spiritual qualities is quite serious. But there is no greater lack than the lack that damns the soul. The lack that damns the soul. In this account, to lack certain qualities is damning. This parable, I believe, is illustrating, and it says it quite clearly in the beginning of our reading. It is illustrating the final judgment of nations and people. It mentions that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels, and he'll sit upon his throne. So it's a picture of, and it's illustrating the final judgment of all nations and all people. And we know this time is ahead of us. It has not happened yet. It is not at this moment, but it is coming, the final judgment, where there will be this great separation of the sheep from the goats, a great separation between those that lack and those that do not lack. In this final judgment parable, all people are divided into one of two groups. And it says specifically that the sheep are divided and put on the right in front of this throne, and the goats are separated and they go to the left. And following that, there is an eternal sentencing. Each group receives an eternal sentencing. The sheep, as we read, he addresses those first after the separation, and he says to the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes into a list of things that he has observed in their lifetime that they have done. And I believe it's not only speaking of things that they have done, but a lifestyle of service, a mentality of giving, a mentality of being useful in the kingdom of God. And then he says to the goats, in turn, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And again, he gives a list of observations of the things that they have lacked, the things that they did not do, the life, the mentality that they did not possess in living for the kingdom of God. I think it's just two areas of the message I'd like to consider. And number one, the first area of the message I'd like to consider is the analysis. The analysis. Within the king's address to each group, we seem to discover an analysis by which a person is evaluated and categorized. And the first thing that pops to the surface in this is the observation of, again, of what those on the right, what he is calling the sheep. And he also, just as I was reading it, popped out to me, he says, his sheep, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. An interesting possession of the language of mine. The language, it's a possessive language. And so he's observing this. And so the first thing that pops is the observation of works. And let's take a look at that. The observation of works performed by the sheep. He says, you have done this, and you have done this. When I was thirsty, when I was hungry, when I needed clothing, and when I was in need, you came and helped me. And it was interesting that the sheep say, when did we do this? We don't recall these occasions of service. And he said, well, it's in your normal life. As you ministered to your brother, as you ministered to your sister, as you ministered to, and I think we could put many words in there, as you ministered to your children, as you ministered to the elderly in your congregation. And again, I believe it is a broader sense than just the individual things that they did, but it is a mentality that these people live with, and being it was a part of their heart and mentality, it was not something they really recognized that they did. It was just the life that they lived in helping people. There was an observation of works not performed by the goats, and we kind of went over that list. There's a verse, I'm going to turn to quite a few scriptures tonight throughout the message. And there's a verse in Revelation chapter 20 that speaks to this same truth of the observation of works in individuals' lives. Revelation 20, 12, and 13, again, is talking about. In verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then in verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. It says, and listen, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Very straightforward scriptures there. So as we go through life, there is an observation of our lives going on at every given moment. There's an observation of the great master, the great God. He's observing our life and saying, what heart does this person have? What are the works coming forth? And as we go into the great judgment, that is a part of the address, part of the evaluation, part of the categorization of individuals. And so that is what pops to the surface when we read this. And I even remember as a child, I was a very sensitive child, and I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. Maybe I still should be as sensitive, but it was a troubling time for me, too sensitive. And so a scripture like this really, really bothered me. So how can I measure enough that I served enough, that I've done enough, that these works that I need to do are getting done, so that when I get to the end of life and my life is categorized and my life is evaluated and I missed that one drink or I missed that, and I struggled with those types of thoughts. And if you read this for what is just right on the surface, that's what you get. But is that the whole picture? I don't think it's the whole picture. We'd like to go to point number two in the first area, and that is, I use the term DNA. DNA determines a sheep or a goat. And maybe that's not a right term, but there is a heart. There is a heart to each person that is in this world. And that heart is either saved or that heart is lost. And so you go to, we look a little closer at Matthew 25. As we look at 32, already mentioned, as a shepherd, it says, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And then it says, he shall set the sheep on the right hand. You're right. And I can say left, and this would be your left. Goats on the left. So what we find in this great evaluation and in this great categorization was that the king knew what they were before he mentioned their works. That is because he knew their heart. He knew who was his and who was not his. And that's the part I think is sometimes missed in the teaching of Matthew 25, 31 through 46. That as he's sitting there on the throne and he looks at the nations and the nations are gathered before him, he immediately knows, without the observation of works, the king immediately knows who are the goats and who are the sheep. And I believe a part of the teaching that is here, then after he has divided them, the sheep from the goats, then he addresses them and say, the practical outworkings of your life was this. You did and you did not. That was the practical outworkings of your life. And I'm probably getting ahead of myself. So in verse 33, the king knew the goats from the sheep first because of DNA. Because of whose they were. John 10. 27 and 28. Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We could read a lot of verses there. But what he's saying is, as the nations and as the peoples were gathered before him in this great judgment scene, he looked across and he immediately recognized his sheep. Not because of the observation of their works primarily, but because they were his. They are my sheep. And the sheep also knew his voice. And so as they lived through life, they had this mentality. And we'll look at some of that later. We could go to Psalm 23, thinking of the thought of DNA, or thinking of the thought of whose these animals were. Thinking of sheep. The sheep are the Lord's. The first three verses of Psalm 23 speak to this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so you find this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And so again, as those nations are gathered before him, as we look at that judgment scene, he will look out there, and as we are gathered before him, he'll say, there are my sheep, because we are his. He will recognize us because of that. So we have the first thing I mentioned was the observation of works. Secondly is the DNA determines a sheep or a goat. And also, whose we are determines our works or our fruit. Whose we are. If we are a sheep, there are things that we will be doing. There are things that we'll be involved in. If we are a goat, there are things that we will be doing. And again, you understand the goat and sheep. I'm not going to go into that. It's a very, very easily understood terminology. But it is, it begins by whose we are. John chapter 8, 44 and 45. When Jesus was talking to the publicans, Pharisees, scribes, possibly. He says this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." The principle here is that because of whose they were, whose these people were, who their father was, where their DNA was aligned, if I can use that terminology, that is what produced the works that they did, the evil works that they did. You, he says, are of the father, the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. Because of what is in your heart, because of whose you are, that life will pour out. Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 23. It says here, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And again, here we have the same principle we've been talking about, and that is given here in the type of a tree. The type of the tree determines the fruit it will bear. Of course, there is the observation of the fruit, but it is not the fruit that makes the tree, it is the tree that makes the fruit. And so it is very important for us to understand this principle, that in the great judgment, there is a whose we are. We are a sheep aligned with the master, the shepherd, and he will say unto us, "Well done." He will say unto us, "Come ye." And he say to the goats, "Depart from me, ye cursed," because of whose each person is. Because of the type of tree that we are. Now, it is true that by observation of fruit or lack thereof, a tree is identified. That is a truth. However, the tree type is responsible for the bearing of fruit and its type. In other words, the tree is what it is because of its creation and ancestry. Therefore, it produces certain fruit. So, a goat lacks the DNA of a sheep. Therefore, it is a goat and lacks the production of righteous works. Matthew 23. I gleaned this scripture in the sermon this morning that another brother was preaching. I thought that fits in, so my notes were already in my Bible, so I pulled it out and wrote this one down. Matthew 23, 25 through 28. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. The truth is here that there is a possibility of people looking pretty good on the outside. And so there is a certain truth that, or a certain perspective that in earth life, there's a possibility of someone being full of or allowing evil in their heart and yet meeting a certain criteria of works exteriorly that look good to people. But it's still saying here, there is a heart that is at the bottom of that. There is a heart that is underneath that, and it's producing a fruit still, and it still identifies them as lacking, identifies them as a goat or a bad tree. The manifestation of goat behavior, although it may reveal to observation the identity, does not make the goat a goat. It, he or she, was a goat first. I believe that's just the truth of the matter. Third point under the analysis. Faith and works is a central doctrine of this determination. It involves faith and works. And so I'd like to turn to James chapter 2. I believe James chapter 2 says very well what we've been trying to portray. James 2, 14 through 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Again, it's coming back to the truth that there is a heart. There is a heart. And when we are converted, when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, we have the sin upon us, and that sin needs taken care of. We come to Jesus Christ, we ask him to forgive our sin, and we become his. We become a sheep of his pasture. And following that, because of that heart, out of that heart springs forth a life of service, a life of obedience, a life of following Jesus, a life of doing his will. Is it a struggle? Yes. But being a sheep, we will have those desires, and there will be fruits that come out of that. Simply what this is saying. Simply what this is saying. There is a faith, and there is a works that follow. There will be a manifestation of a persuasion. It's just true. If you tonight are not right with God, if I am not right with God, there will be a manifestation of that persuasion. If I am right with God, if you are right with God, there is going to be a manifestation of that persuasion. In some manner, somehow, there will be a fruit that flows from our life that goes back to the persuasion. And the persuasion then is founded on whose we are. Galatians chapter 5. Many of these verses are the core of what it is teaching is the same thing, just says it in a different way. I'd like to read verses 16 through 24 here. Galatians chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not lack in the works. Because, again, there's this persuasion, 17, for the lust, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. We were talking about that. There'd be a manifestation of a persuasion. And here he's saying the works of the flesh are manifest. It's what's going to come out if we're not saved, if we're not right with God. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the sheep, the fruit of the good tree, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, see the possession, see the connection, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, in this section, what do the goats lack? Two things. I'll boil it down to two things. A saving faith in the Lord Jesus, number one. And number two, actions that demonstrate a saving faith, which is obedience to the Lord Jesus. Going to the second part of the message, the invitation. Number one, we don't have to be a goat. You can be a sheep. You can. You can be a sheep. Matthew 3, 7 through 11. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and we could put goat in there, when he saw, that's a little ruthless, isn't it? But when he saw many of the goats, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We don't have to be a goat. We can become a sheep. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You don't need to be a goat. You can be a sheep. Ephesians chapter 2. One through ten. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. He's saying we used to be goats, but he quickened us and made us sheep. So we were this, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, even when we were goats, dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. You got that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, making the point, I have another scripture written down. If you're taking notes, John 1:12, I'll turn to that one. The point is, we don't have to be goats. We can become a sheep. We can also, number two, we can possess power for good works. Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3, verse 12. I just liked how simply it is put here. He says, put on. Put on, therefore. He's talking to sheep. He's talking to those that want to be sheep. He simply says to us, put on. In other words, do. Just do this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on, do it. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The point is, we can possess power for good works. That's a part of the sheep's DNA. It's a part of being God's. Does it take effort? Yes. Does it take work? Yes. Does it take setting your mind to it? Yes. But within us, though, because of whose we are and because of the saving power and what has happened, being quickened there in Ephesians, you that he hath quickened, because of that, there is a tremendous power that arises from that, a tremendous want to, a tremendous I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do his will. And we just read Ephesians 2:10 about thinking about this power. And it says, therefore, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Something has happened because of what Jesus has done, because of his workmanship in us. He creates us in us a desire and the ability and the power to produce good works. Being right with God is sins forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. This makes you a sheep. And tonight, I trust that you are on the sheep side. And if not, the invitation is clear. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We can become a new creature through the work that he has done on the cross of Calvary because of the resurrection, the blood that was shed, the resurrection, the power of the life of Jesus Christ. You can be a sheep. You can be a sheep tonight. And I hope you are. I hope that's where you are. And you can also avail yourself of that power that is there to do the works of a sheep. We don't have to lack. We don't have to be as the goats and lack what the goats lack, because the goats have another master. The goats they are another tree. They produce another fruit because of the tree that they are. They manifest the the works of a goat, because they are a goat, because of whose they are. So in closing, obedience and service to Jesus Christ is an expected manifestation of a child of God. And let's be those people. Let's be that. And as we go through life, sometimes we realize the lack. And being a sheep, we should be concerned about the lack, and we should strengthen ourselves, make ourselves accountable to brother, whatever, and do things that increase those manifestations of what Christ has done in our heart, increase those things that we need to do. But as a sheep, we should not lack assurance of salvation because you realize sometimes that, you know what, I'm not measuring up to what I should do. Don't lack assurance because of that. Because the lack that is in the goats is, first of all, because they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And because of that, they're all and any of the works they do are null and void. So never substitute good work for saving faith in Jesus Christ. Rather, let his love in us compel us to a mentality and lifestyle of righteous fruit bearing. May God bless us this week as we go through life. Let's strengthen ourselves in Christ, be compelled by his love to manifest what he wants us to manifest.